This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. We all know that prayer is a means by which we can communicate with God. Sometimes God grants our requests when we pray. Sometimes He is silent, and sometimes His answer is no, even when we are asking for things that seem to us to be good things. In his message entitled, And God Said Part 3, Pastor Scott explains how we are to respond when God's answer to our prayers is no. This message was delivered on April 2nd, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. Man, this is a tough one today. When God says no. Oh, that's painful, yeah? You know, when I was growing up, I was not the model son. How many of you knew that, right? I was 15 years old. I was working at a gas station, and I would ride my bicycle downhill to work, and then after work was uphill. And I was 15. I wanted to work. I wanted to learn responsibility because I was really bad, and I really wanted to get my license. And so I begged and I begged them, my parents, but they said no. But I kept asking and asking and asking. Still, they said no. Finally, one day they gave in. They said, well, we can let him get his license, but he still doesn't have a car. So I think that's okay. So I finally got my license, but no car. I worked, I saved up my money, and I finally was able to buy a car. It was bright orange, like the water jug back there, it was like that bright orange. I bought it for my brother, and right in the middle of the windshield, above the mirror, had this big, you know the fish scale stickers? Had this big sticker says, Jesus. And I was like, wow. I bought that for my brother, but then my parents didn't let me drive it. I said, no, you cannot, you're not responsible enough. And I was like, come on. They knew that once I hopped in that car, it was over. I would not make it to school. So they said, no, finally, after years and years of begging, I think maybe 11th or 12th grade, I finally got to drive it. And it was right, I never made it to school. It was bad. I never made it to school. I had a nice spot under my seat for a bottle of booze, and I think that's why they said no. No isn't always bad. It isn't always bad. When we get no for an answer, it's never easy to take or understand. Even if we are close to God, it's always a tough thing. And even when I wasn't walking with Jesus, I would pray only when I wanted something. And most of the times, you know, I didn't hear or I didn't get the answer I wanted. I told you about the story that one day I was tired of working at my job. And there was an opening at Budweiser. And I was like, shoot, this is my job. I have excellent product knowledge. I mean, excellent. I knew everything they sold, and I tasted everything they sold, and I consumed their product, I mean, regularly, more than any average person. I knew the bosses. I said, this is my job. I applied, and God didn't get me the job. And he said, no. I mean, what's going on? Do you think God knew what he was doing? I mean, I didn't think so back then. But as I look back, you know, why would you give an alcoholic a job selling alcohol? You know, no isn't always bad. Thank God he knew what he was doing. Even though at that moment I did not agree. Remember that movie? Bruce Almighty, when he got the powers of God and all these voices were coming into his head, and he said, just on his computer, said, yes to all. And the next day, it was just chaos. Everyone, if God answered yes to all of our prayers, all those people who cut you off in traffic would be dead. Right? All those people in express line in front of you with 20 items would be dead. Right? All those people who tailgate you, right? The people who pass you on the shoulder lane illegally, they would all be toast. I think that might include most of us here, you know. I would probably be toast because you would be thinking, who is that guy driving the way he, you know, that's all the guys who park crooked. If God said yes to all of our prayers, then all of our enemies would be dead, possibly in hell. We all be billionaires. I would not be here because you would be on a permanent vacation, enjoying your money, and no need for God, no need for church. If God said yes to everything. Sometimes, a lot of times, no isn't always bad. Psalms 28:1. I pray to you, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. You know, in this psalm, we see a prayer for help and praise, for answer. But in this first verse, the writer says, man, God, if you are silent, I might as well just give up and die. Sometimes when God is silent or his answer is no, man, it's so agonizing because we want direction. God, speak to me. Should I take this job? Should I leave this relationship? God, I need this job. And you wait and you wait and you wait. God, I need healing. Speak to me. And you're there and like, come on. It's agonizing. And the psalmist said, man, I feel like dying. God hears our prayers. He hears every one of our prayers. And sometimes the answer is no. But no isn't always bad. So number one, why does God say no? Is he mean? Is he cruel? Does he want to just make fun of us? James 4:3 answers it best. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. What is the motive of our asking? You ask for $1 million, why? Because you want to be comfortable. You don't want to have any bills. Maybe you want to help people. That's a good motive. You all heard about my trip to Disneyland, my first trip. You heard it? Nobody heard it? Maybe I got to tell you again. My first trip, well, my second trip, my first trip with my family, I went. I was sick. I was terribly sick. I had the runs badly. I mean, you think I'm on vacation with my family? God would take good care of me. I know where every bathroom in Disneyland is. I can tell you where it is without looking at the map. Seriously. And I got to tell you this. You can learn something from going into the bathroom at Disneyland. They are all very clean and spotless. And it's like, wow. And I kept praying, God, take this away from me. Me. Take this away from me. Heal me. Fix me. It's not right. I'm on vacation. I shouldn't be sick. What kind of God are you? I spent all this money to go there. Well, actually, my parents spent all that money to get me there. Spoiled little kid. Come on, God. You know, I mean, that sounds reasonable, right? I'm on vacation with my family. God, heal me. What's wrong with you? Why can't you fix me? I kept praying that, and I went on for how many days until I realized that I needed to pray for my family, that they wouldn't catch it from me. Because if they got it from me and I was healed, I would feel really bad if they were sick. And then until I changed my heart and changed my prayer from me to them, my motive changed because it wasn't about me anymore. And God answered my prayers. Man, I wish I learned that the first day. I really wish I learned that the first day, but it took me how many days to figure that out? I had to suffer. But I learned a valuable lesson. When I pray, I really got to check my heart. When we pray, what is our motive? Is it for our comfort or is it for God's glory? When I ask God to heal those of you who are sick, battling cancer, battling health issues, am I praying for my selfish reasons so I don't have to cook for you and go to the hospital? Or am I praying that you be healed so that one day you will stand up here, share your testimony with those who may be battling the same thing? I got to check my motives. For those of you who are sick, you're praying for healing, for your comfort, or for God's glory. I know it's difficult because when you're battling a life-changing disease, it's hard not to pray for yourself, for your comfort. Because I would be doing the same thing. I did the same thing. But we need to look at our motives. God, heal me. Why? So that one day my life can be a testimony to you. God, clear my debt. So one day I can share with the whole world how you took care of me financially. How you cleared my debt. God, fix my relationship. So one day, when people ask me, how did you fix it? You can say, God stepped in and took care of it. In Luke 22:42, Jesus says this, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, Jesus prayed that this cup of suffering be removed. We know it wasn't. We know he went to the cross, but he prayed, you know, take it away, he asked. But he said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will. Sometimes we need to check our motives. When we go fishing, Lord, let me catch fish. And all the other guys go catch fish because my motive is wrong. So I changed it. I said, Lord, let Al and Johnny catch all the fish. And what happens? I catch the fish because my motive changed. I just gave away the secret. When you go fishing, pray for the other guys to catch the big fish and you get to clean it. That way, sorry, that was my mint. But that way, okay, check your motive. Check your motive, because that's very important now. Very important, your motive. Why? God's no is not always a no. It's sometimes a wait or a delay. They're not denials. Sometimes it's just a pause. And that pause can be long. So what do you do? What do you do when God is silent? When you're not getting an answer? When you're not getting through? What do you do when you call that radio station to win that contest, but the line is busy? Shelby? You keep dialing, right? Because I know you always win those contests. You keep dialing. You keep dialing and you keep, right? You just redial. Or how many of you got the radio station on speed dial? Right? So when they get that contest going on to win that free trip to Las Vegas, redial, busy, redial, busy, redial, busy. And you do that all day at your desk instead of working. Shame on you. And then you win and you don't take me. Here it is. When God is silent, number two, stay the course. Numbers 20:12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the promised land. So this is what's happening. Again, we hear the Israelites grumbling. We don't have water. We need water. They grumble. And then Moses meets with God. God tells Moses, speak to the rock, and water will come for him. What does Moses do? I guess he didn't want to look foolish by talking to a rock. So he struck the rock twice with his rod. Water did come out, but God says, because you did this, I will not let you into the promised land. Now, understand, this was Moses' whole life mission. Get these people from Egypt into the promised land. That was his life mission. God said to Moses, because you did this, you are not going to go into the promised land. So what happened? What did he do? And if God told you that, if God told me, Scott, you're going to take all these guys fishing and you're going to cook for them, but you're not going to fish. I'm not going then, right? Moses could have said, well, if I'm not going to the promised land, then why am I going to take a bunch of knuckleheads all the way to the desert for just stand there at the edge and watch and then die? I mean, right? Common sense, you would probably do the same thing. So I ain't going then. If I cannot play, I'm not going. Right? You can go to Macy's, but you cannot shop. Ouch! Good thing CJ not here today, yeah? But, you know, he didn't do that. When God is silent or he says no or not now, doesn't mean we stop ministry. Moses was told long before that he wasn't going to go into the promised land. But it didn't stop him from leading and training and bringing those people all the way to the edge of the promised land where he climbed up on the mountain and he just got to look. Man, you go to the ocean and you look at the water. It's so nice. You see all the fish swimming, but you cannot fish. Man, that must have been so hard. He asked God again, and God said, no, sorry, don't even ask me again. But he stuck to it. King David wanted to build this temple for God, a big, spectacular temple. But God said, no, you have too much blood on your hands. But did it stop him? No, it didn't. You know what he did? He got all the building materials together, everything. So his son Solomon, they call it Solomon's temple. Maybe it should have been called David's temple. Because Solomon got everything, David got everything together, and Solomon had to build. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7-9, we're talking about Paul. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, in other words, to keep me humble, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. So he's begging God, take this away from me. And he said to me, oh, this is hard. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. He had this health problem, it seems like. And he wanted God, take this away from me so that I can do ministry. I can do it better, more effectively. I can work 20 hours a day and I can keep going for you. But God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Can you imagine if he stopped? If after this God said no and he stopped ministry, we wouldn't have half the New Testament. I mean, we would be reading the Bible much quicker. Right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and maybe if it was in chronological order, we'd stop in Corinthians, and that would be it. But he didn't stop. He kept going. In times that God tells us no, or if God is silent and you're not hearing him, what do I do? How do I stay the course? First one here, you keep on reading. Don't stop. Romans 15:4, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. Maybe you better underline that word, teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. How many of you like waiting patiently? One honest person. Oh, one liar, either that, one or the other. I hate. See, that person who raised his hand, next time he's going to go fishing, he's going to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait patiently for the fish. Hopefully he catches one soon. Wait patiently. We keep reading. Don't stop. The knowledge that we get from Scripture affects our attitude. And the more we know about God, the more we know what he's done in the past and how it prepares us for the future. Number two, we keep praying. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. We should be always praying. When we don't hear God, or if there's a delay or pause, keep praying. Look at Luke 18:1-7. One day Jesus told these disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." And the judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people." In verse 5, "But this woman is driving me crazy." Oh, I dare not take that out of context, man. Oh, can you imagine? Jesus said, "This woman is driving me crazy." Take that out of context. We get lickings. That's why it's important to read in context. "I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" It's like pressing redial and redial and redial and keep asking. Don't give up. Repetition. Be consistent. Check your motives. And then the next one, keep on fellowshipping. Keep on. Just because God, there's a pause, just because God says no, just because God says not now, don't stop coming. Don't stop going to Bible studies. Hebrews 10:25 says this. "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do." You know those some people? Because they're not here anymore. "But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." If God is silent and you're in agony, doesn't mean you stop coming. I think it's when God is silent and there's a pause, I think you got to get more connected. You come to church, come to Bible study, come to small groups. Find anything, anywhere that you can get plugged in. Stay the course. As I read earlier in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, when Paul had this thorn in his side and he asked God to take it away, God says, "No, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. that is enough. That is it. Don't worry about it. Depend on me, and I'll take care of you. And that's what he did. The no in Paul's life caused him to depend on God all the more. It guided him in the direction God wanted him. We need to understand that God leads us where we are needed most. And sometimes it takes a no to get us there. You see, no isn't always bad. If God says no to your prayer request, don't worry. If you know God and you trust him, don't worry. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Because the way I understand things is so far different from the way God does. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's so much for us to learn from God when he is silent. We just need to be still, to be patient, to stay on track. Because when he says no or not now, some of us, we bail and say, okay, this church stuff doesn't work for me. It's not working. I'm not getting what I want. Again, it's about me. When God is silent, and I tell you what, the longer you follow God, you will come across times when God is either silent, he says no, or he says not now. If God gave me everything I asked for when I asked for it, I wouldn't be here. I would have got myself into serious trouble because God just said, God is not a yes man. Yes, 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 yes. You know, and he's not. Sometimes he says no. But when he says no, we need to understand that he has our best interest in mind. Amen? You may put away your notes. We're going to get ready for communion. But before we do that, why don't we pray? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You know, if there's someone here today, I tell you what, God will not say no when you ask him into your heart to be Lord of your life. And if you need to do that, then with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else out there? Anybody? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They said yes. And we know from your word that you would not say no. Your word says that when we open the door of our heart, that you will come in and that we will dine with you and you with us. So we thank you for those who said yes. Lord, I pray that they would grow, that they would trust you, that they would love you as you love them. And we thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead, ushers, pass out the elements. Communion is a very important part of our relationship with Christ. On Jesus' last night here on earth, before he was crucified, he instructed his disciples to break the bread and to drink the wine. And he said to them that they need to do this because they need to remember. How many of you have to write things down or you forget them? How many of you older people have the Monday to Saturday, Sunday thing with the pills, the AM, PM? Yeah, you know why? And even with that, I forget. I forget to take my medication because I am forgetful. Some of you tell, call me. I forget. Forgive me. So Jesus knew that we were a bunch of forgetful people. So tomorrow morning when you wake up and they ask you, what was the sermon about? I don't know. So Jesus said, on the night that he was betrayed, he said, take some bread. Break the bread. This is like my body broken for you. And take the cup, the wine, which represents his blood that was spilled for us for the forgiveness of sin. And he said, do that in remembrance of me. It's like we take a picture and we put it in our own refrigerator so we remember things. We remember, we get our family pictures in the house. We remember who our family is, what our parents look like, because we don't see them every time. Do this in remembrance of me. So he said, do this as a time when you come together to remember me. But the Bible also says that we must take it in a worthy manner. So as they're finishing passing out the elements, we're going to pray. So I ask you, bow your heads. Lord, thank you that you have instructed us to regularly take communion so that we would remember you. Lord, we come before you. We ask that you would forgive us of any of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that when we take communion, we'll be right with you. Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross, for your broken body, for your blood that was shed so that we could inherit eternal life, salvation. Thank you for forgiving us. Lord, as we take communion, let us remember, not just today and not just when we take communion, but help us to remember every day what you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are the ushers, are they done? We're good? On the night, you know what? Why don't we stand? I think it's good that we stand. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he broke the bread and said, take this in remembrance of me. You may take of the bread. In the same manner, he took the cup, the blood of the new covenant, and says, take this in remembrance of me. You may take of the cup. Let's pray. Lord, amen. You're an awesome God. And you love us so much. Lord, as we remember you, we are so grateful for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for dying on the cross, for saving us, because we could not save ourselves. We love you, and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Ke'au, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.